Health spokesperson on health for Fianna Fáil is Stephen Donnelly. He's here. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Declan.
Good morning. So there we are. For the this one day strike ended this morning. There will be more, I expect, at 8 o'clock this morning. What do you take out of the action yesterday?
I think I have a huge deal of sympathy for the nurses and the midwives, and strongly support them. The level of anger and frustration around the country is palpable. There was about 35,000 nurses and midwives went on strike yesterday. I was on the pickets. I've been talking to nurses and midwives around the country, obviously, on an ongoing basis. I would say there wasn't a single nurse or midwife who went out on strike yesterday who wanted it. They don't want to do it. It was only the second time it's happened in 100 years. They have raised numerous issues, and I know the focus at the moment is on pay, but it's much broader than pay. When you listen to the interviews of the nurses on the picket lines, they don't really talk about pay, and I know this, it is one of the focuses for this, but what they talk about is conditions. They talk about working environments where they're coming home from the hospital or wherever it is they're working, burnt out, exhausted, emotionally charged, because they know that in a lot of cases the patients aren't getting the care that they want to provide them, because there aren't enough staff, there aren't enough doctors, there aren't enough nurses, the buildings aren't in the condition they need to be in. In some cases, I get the sense, and certainly the reports from nurses, that they're just not being treated well either in their jobs. You know, I was talking to one yesterday who was kind of struggling to get maternity leave, and there's all sorts of issues. I was talking to nurses in Hollis Street on the picket line, and they were saying when one of their colleagues goes out on maternity leave, and there isn't someone else to come in because they just can't hire them. So there is a recruitment and retention problem. So I must say I have an awful lot of sympathy for them. And I think it's really important just to emphasize they don't want to be out there. Second time in 100 years, they want to be in the hospitals doing the job that they know how to do.
Right. Well, you've raised a big issue. I mean, the health service, we, even though a lot of people have private health insurance, people have to go to the public hospitals. And yet we seem to be not being able to cope. And there's been report after report. How do we start on this? And, you know, a couple of days strike here and there, or a settlement of the nurses, that's not going to solve it, is it?
Well, it's not going to solve it, but it needs to be taken seriously. I mean, they have been left with no choice but to do this. What you'll hear Phil Nihay say from the INMO, and what you'll hear nurses say around the country, is that they're just being ignored, that they've been raising these issues since 2013. I was in Cork last year at their annual conference, and they were putting forward really positive ideas, really positive motions around recognising new specialties, for example. So in nursing, there are specialties in intensive care, in emergency medicine and theatres and a few other areas, but there's much more opportunity to have specialties, say, in paediatrics or in geriatrics or in what, you know, in whatever it is. Those ideas are being ignored. They're talking about the
retention. What difference would they make?
Oh, it'd make all sorts of difference. So, I mean, anybody in their job wants career progression, you know. So let's say you graduate at 21 or 22 as a newly minted nurse. You go in, you know, you're learning the trade. Then you might decide you want to go back and do a master's degree. You might want to specialise in geriatrics or paediatrics or whatever it is. You get your specialty. You need to get more money for that, obviously, as you get more and more skilled. You need to have a career progression. Now, the document that the government is using as its defence, I was going to say hiding behind, but but let's try and be nice, is using as its defence, is a document that was published. It's the Pay Commission report that came out last August or September. And it identified numerous areas for career development and pointed out that actually career development and professional development within the nursing and midwifery professions is really, really poor. On top of that, we had two really exciting pilot projects last year running. I think it was Dublin and Cork, and they put what is deemed to be the right number of nurses on the ward so that the nurse-patient ratio was better, and all sorts of good things happened. Patient care went up, discharges went up, length of stay for patients went down, readmission to hospital went down, the use of agency nurses went down. There's lots of things we can do to improve the profession, to deal with this very unfair pay discrepancy at the new entrant level, which is one of the issues.
Say if you've got an increase in skill level in paediatrics somebody goes from being a guarder to a sergeant, right? Yeah. And they're working in paediatrics. That's really, how does that make a difference to the consumer who walks in the door? Somebody has been promoted and gets more money. How does it make a difference?
Well, it's more and more specialist care. So would it be the same as, you know, what's the difference between going in and seeing an NCHD, a junior doctor, and a consultant? Well, I think if any of us went in, you know, to have bits of us cut out or God know, you know, whatever it is, you want to see a consultant. Now, there's a separate issue, which is we found out that 161 of the doctors working in consultant posts aren't actually on the specialist register, but probably for another day. So, you know, healthcare is becoming more and more specialised. And it should be a good news story. And it's a real reflection of how badly things are going with the healthcare system in Ireland when we're spending this huge amount of money, 17 billion this year, more than ever before, more than
I don't know where it goes. We're spending a hell of a lot of money. But we've a lot of specialists then. We end up with a lot of specialist nurses. I mean, where do we go after that? Do we have general nurses?
Oh, of course you do. Yeah, you have general staff nursing, and not everyone is going to want to be a specialist. It's about making nursing and midwifery a profession in Ireland that our nurses and midwives want to stay for and come back for, because they're all over the world at the moment, getting wonderful international experience. So we want them to come back. We want Ireland to be recognised as one of the countries that nurses and midwives, and indeed doctors, want to work in. And now, unfortunately, we have the opposite problem. So we're training up a lot of them. The training is recognised as really superb. It's why they're being poached by America and Canada and England and New Zealand and Australia. They're coming to take our nurses and midwives because they're so well trained. So what do we do? Ultimately, what we want is a healthcare system where our doctors, our nurses, our midwives, everyone working in the system is proud of the system, is excited about being in the system and being a healthcare professional, has avenues for career advancement, is paid a good wage so they can live their life, pay their rent or pay their mortgage or whatever it is. And unfortunately, at the moment, we don't have that. So the nurses, the midwives, the NCHDs, the consultants, the GPs, en masse, are frustrated. They're suffering from burnout. They're leaving the profession, or they're leaving the country, or they're going into private. They're going into private practice. In a lot of cases, they don't. There's all sorts of pay discrepancies. So, for example, one of the core issues at the heart of this strike is a very unfair situation whereby a newly minted physiotherapist and a newly minted nurse, they both have an honours degree. They're both 22. They both walk in on their first day through the doors of St. Vincent's Hospital. The nurse is paid 6,000 or 7,000 euro less than the physio. And they're saying, well, that doesn't seem very reasonable. On top of that, they're getting phone calls, or their mates are calling them from Australia or Canada saying, here, look, you know, you're going to start on 30,000. The Australians are paying me 50,000. Now, I'm not, to be clear, suggesting that we have to match the highest salaries paid around the world.
There's just something in that now. And this might be opening up some sort of can of worms. Probably get some abuse for it, but there you go. It's only a question, because we're talking about things. The Australian nurses beside them probably have very hefty university student loans to pay back, so they need 50 grand. Isn't our university fees 3 grand a year? Like, if you go to the UK, they're 9,000 sterling plus. So it takes about, we'll say, over 4 years, 40,000 sterling that the nurse has to pay back over a lifetime. We have 12,000 euro to pay back.
Yeah, so the
systems are not comparable.
The educational systems, it's a fair point. In the UK, it varies wildly. So I don't know what a nursing degree per year costs in a given college. But the 9,000 you're talking about, my understanding is that's sort of if you end up in Oxford or Cambridge. When the British Parliament gave the universities the ability to go up to what I think it was 9,000, some of them shot straight up. I don't know what it costs to go to college in Australia.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Claire's just telling me that maybe you don't pay for university education for nursing in the United Kingdom. I don't know.
No, I don't know.
I, I'd read that there was something like 9,000 paid, and there's a bursary system where you get some money back.
Maybe
or
you
something.
Get it back. I'm not quite sure. What I do know, though, is if you there was that the Castles report came out.
But,
I think,
but
about
it's
2 years
very cheap,
ago.
3,000, isn't it, to be trained?
Well, do you know, relative to the rest of the EU, it isn't. Now, I'm open to being corrected on this, but I think from the Castles report, which looked at third level education, how it's funded, I think we come in as the second most expensive. University fees in Europe. So certainly relative to the rest of Europe.
Well, I'm not suggesting we change it because we need all the nurses, yeah. We need their skills, and we want them to be here. So let's sort out what needs to be done here.
And this is it. And
the government give in, and as they say, 300 million it'll cost them every single year.
So the government needs to engage. So why has this happened? This hasn't happened because the government says, you know, we're not writing you a blank check for 300 million. And in fairness to the nurses and the midwives, they're not looking for a blank check for 300 million. They're asking a very reasonable question, which is why does that physio walking through the door at 22 earn 7 grand more than the nurse walking through the door? I think that's a pretty reasonable question to ask. They're looking for engagement on conditions. They're looking for engagement on career progression. They're looking for engagement. If anyone listening now who's been watching it on the television will have heard the nurses say again and again and again, this is about patient safety, staffing and recruitment and retention. Like, I'll give you an example, Declan, in Galway. Galway University Hospital is a level 4 hospital. It's the only level 4 hospital in the entire region. They've 16 operating theatres. One in three of those operating theatres is closed every single day because they can't hire enough theatre nurses. If you talk to people trying to hire in St. Vincent's, they'll tell you a lot of the same things. They're not necessarily on the operating theatres. But what they're saying is in areas where it is really expensive to live, like in Wicklow, like in Dublin, Galway, Cork, the wages just, particularly with the spiralling rents, they don't allow young healthcare professionals
so should we
to,
have
to live.
Better money in the greater Dublin area or greater Galway than rural hospitals? A different rate of pay?
Well, I think the answer to that is you need engagement on that. You need the government and you need the nurses and the midwives to sit down and figure that out. The nurses and midwives, the INMO, have all sorts of proposals, like how do you reduce agency staff? If you get the right level of staffing in there, patients get out of hospital quicker. You know, they get readmitted less. There's all sorts of additional savings. And so what you need is meaningful engagement. Let them put all the ideas on the table. Not all of the ideas will be workable, but look at what can be done and then find a pathway. Because I know I've said it, but it is worth emphasizing, this isn't about signing a check. Because if all the government did was sign a check, it wouldn't solve the problem. Because a lot of the problem is burnout.
Right. Well, say the scales remained something similar, but there was, I don't know, and we've gone down the road before and there'd been disaster, but sort of an extra payment for working in Angola, you know, Angola being the pseudonym for the health service. You know, there was something that could be seen as, you know, to recognise the pressure. But it didn't compromise the government's view of you have to wait for 18 months till we all renegotiate again.
Yeah, look, all of that can be on the table to look at. What we need to be very cognizant of is we have a recruitment and retention problem. We have it with GPs, we have it with consultants, NCHDs and nurses and midwives. It needs to be addressed. Now, the government's sort of blanket defence, which we heard from the minister yesterday on the news, was there's a national pay framework in place, and I believe he said he expects the unions to uphold their side of the bargain. What he didn't say was that the national pay agreement allows for sectoral changes if there are retention and recruitment problems. And what anyone working in any hospital around Ireland will tell you today is that there is a retention and recruitment problem. I believe, and Fianna Fáil believes, that that creates the legal space within the national pay framework for meaningful engagement. And, you know, they're not on strike because the government hasn't written a check for 300 million euro. They're on strike because they've been raising issues around pay inequality, recruitment and retention, staffing and patient care since 2013, and they can't get engagement. Like, Phil Nihay was on yesterday saying they cannot get meaningful engagement from decision makers and government. That's what's needed right now, and bizarrely, they seem to be refusing. They're also refusing to engage with the GPs. They're refusing to engage with the hospital consultants. It's across the board, and unfortunately, it all seems to be coming together now in a perfect storm.
Yeah. I'm sorry, we won't get on to the National Children's Hospital for another day. We'll do that. Just to run out of time. I think it was worth teasing out some of the aspects, though, of the nursing strike, and there'll be another 24 hours next week. In fact, I think they're talking
Tuesday.
Even further. Yeah.
Tuesday and beyond, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Stephen Donnelly, who's the Fianna Fáil TD and spokesperson on health. Thank you very much indeed.